Carl was so deep into his reverie, he half expected to see her standing in the backyard when he walked to the window. But that didn't stop him from being surprised when he did see her there. She was standing below the window in a white summer dress, gesturing to him impatiently to come down. Or someone who looked like her was. It couldn't really be her. But it couldn't be anyone else either. He opened the window, and she spoke to him in a loud stage whisper.
"Where the hell have you been?"
"Jesse?
Is something wrong?"
"Well, but there was, wasn't there?"
"Come on down."
He closed the window and crept out of the room, knowing full well he needn't worry about waking anyone. It didn't hurt to play act a little, and anyway, it all had to be a dream. He much preferred this to the one about the garage. As he descended the stairs, he considered the possibility that this might all be real, feeling a wave of depression and apprehension. If it were real, it couldn't be what he'd been assuming. She wouldn't be there to reenact a night of teenage passion from the 70s. The only thing that could make a normal woman sneak in the darkness to the house of someone she hadn't spoken to in 12 years was some unusual and urgent kind of trouble. He hesitated at the French doors, thinking for the first time in years of the circumstances of their parting, and he was more sure than ever that no mere sexual whim would have brought her back here. He drew a deep breath as he opened the door and walked out into the night. The raccoon had finished every bit of dried cat food and spilled the dish of water all over the patio. He tracked the water out on the grass, trying to see her in the blue darkness. There was no one under the window, no sound or anyone around. If it was a dream, when had it ended? An arm grabbed him around the chest. Another reached between his legs and grabbed him there. He gasped and tried to pull away. Then he heard her laugh. "It's me, stupid." She turned him around and kissed him. His mind was reeling from surprise to fear to pleasure, but it was soon calmed by a wave of memory. The thick softness of her lips and the taste of a cigarette on her tongue. Nothing like this could have brought her here, but her hand was running down his chest and into his jeans.
"What are you all dressed for? Did you think we were going on a hike?"
One of the first things he learned as a comedy writer was not to try to make a joke if he couldn't think of anything funny. So he just kissed her again and let her fumble with his belt. She backed away and touched his lip curiously with her fingers.
"Since when did you grow a mustache?" she asked, sounding genuinely confused.
"I had to do something while I was waiting for you." He kissed her neck and she giggled.
"It tickles."
"You don't know the half of it," he murmured, while nibbling on the tender flesh of her neck. She gasped. It was a tender gasp, yearning and hungry, and at the sound of it, Carl froze and felt his lips tremble on her neck. He knew that gasp so well, and it came from so long ago that he felt his heart grow in his chest. He shut his eyes, and tears squeezed from them. Jesse pulled away to look at him, puzzled.
"What is it?"
He laughed. Only two tears had fallen. He was in control. He squeezed her arms playfully.
"It's just so good to see you."
"You silly." In the old days, she had always been the one to frighten him off with the depth of her feelings. Now, here she was, laughing at his emotion as if her showing up now were the most natural thing in the world. Didn't she know, or didn't she want to know, that he could stare at her in the darkness all night long? Was it all just a game to her?